Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A woman is dead and a man is injured after a shooting at a hotel in Durham. Coming up, I'll give you a closer look at this massive crime scene.
And I'm watching breaking news in Garner. Heavy delays on 40 westbound. Also some heavy delays on the northbound side of the Durham Freeway.
What we do can only be done with the support of the community.
Plus, a plea from local food banks as hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians prepare for big cuts to their shopping budget. Thanks for joining us on your Wednesday morning. It is March 1st. We made it to March. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for having us in for news here this morning as we get started. A new month. Mm-hmm. Same old warmth on our way for now. Anyway, there'll be some bumps in the road coming up, but Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center, a cool start once again.
Yeah, the old saying is March comes in like a lion and out like a lamb, and that's not the way it's going to work this month. Definitely coming in like a lamb, and then the lion comes back in the middle of the month when our temperatures get a lot colder. And as we get through the next few weeks, we'll be talking more about that. But first, we're going to talk about the rain that's heading our way starting tomorrow morning. Right now, looking at 50 in Southern Pines, 49 in Goldsboro, 45 South Hill, 53 in Clinton. It's a little cooler than it was this time yesterday, 51 around the Triangle. Our wind is coming out of the east, northeast today, so that's why it's just a touch cooler. We're seeing lots of sunshine here as we take a live look from Alfredo's restaurant in Clinton. But in some other parts of the viewing area, it's fairly cloudy, and we will see the clouds coming and going today. 53 Fayetteville, 46 in Roxborough, so we do have a bit of a wide range in our temperatures, but everybody's seeing temperatures about 10 to 15 degrees cooler than it was this time yesterday, so a jacket feels nice heading out the door. We climb into the mid-70s this afternoon, so we'll be way above normal, but we will see increasing clouds. We stay dry up until midnight or so, and by tomorrow morning, we're looking at some rain. It's going to be a wet commute. We'll likely see the same thing again Friday morning with a wet commute, and then Friday evening, a front comes through, and that's going to bring us the chance of some severe storms. So we have a level one risk new this morning around the Triangle, and then back to our south and west. Our southwestern counties in the Sandhills have a level two risk for severe storms. So coming up, we're going to walk through the timeline for those storms Friday and for Thursday too. Brian?
It is 8:02 right now. It's been a rough morning heading out of Johnston County and into Garner on 40 westbound. An earlier crash on 40 west right around the Jones Sausage Road interchange leading to some big backups this morning. The good news is it looks like that crash itself has cleared, but we're still seeing about 50 minutes worth of backups beginning around 42 through the Clayton Bypass on up toward Business 70. With the most recent sensor updates, it looks like the interstate around Business 70 interchange has cleared, so that's a pretty good option to pick up 40 westbound this morning and continue on your way into Raleigh. In addition to 40 westbound delays, we're seeing some heavy residual backups on the westbound side of Business 70, leaving Clayton, heading back toward Garner. Those backups began right around the Wake Johnston County line and extend all the way up toward the 40 interchange. About a 10-minute backup overall showing up right now on sensors. Around the rest of the Triangle, we're watching some delays in Morrisville at 55 at McCrimmon Parkway. Also some slowdowns on the Durham Freeway on that northbound side of 885. The backups begin around I-40 and extend all the way up toward the Glover Road area. About a 7-minute delay showing up on sensors right now there on the northbound side of 885. About a 3-minute delay on the southbound side of 885. From the 147 merge down toward Glover.
All right, thank you, Brian. We have some breaking news this morning. Investigators are still at the scene of a deadly shooting at a Durham motel more than 9 hours later. This is at the Extended Stay America on NC-55 in Durham. WRAL's Michael Grace has been there for hours now. Michael, what can you tell us?
Well, I just saw a group of five investigators go inside the mobile command center. It's about 100 yards away from me inside the crime scene, and they've been going at this since 11 last night when the shooting happened. I want to get you to this video from the WRAL breaking news tracker of what that scene looked like earlier. This is around 1:30 in the morning, and you can see how massive of a scene it is. Nearly the entire parking lot here at the Extended Stay America was blocked off. It was very difficult to even get a glimpse of what these investigators were looking at. I actually had to walk off the property of the hotel just to get a few glimpses and shots. There you see of those evidence markers in the parking lot next to some of those rooms. Now, what we do know, though, is that when police arrived, they found a woman who was shot. She was taken to the hospital where she later died. A man also shot. He has non-life-threatening injuries. But this is now the second deadly shooting in Durham in a matter of a week. And right now, I'm still working with investigators to find out if they have a potential lead on the shooter in this case. Live in Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Local food pantries are preparing for a surge in demand because a benefit that has helped hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina to feed their families ends today. WRAL's Nia Harden is at the Interfaith Food Shuttle in Raleigh with how people can help. Nia?
Jeff, it's organizations just like this one here that say they expect to see more people, and that's because they believe that families will be in need after this big change. That's the program that we're talking about, SNAP, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. They're going to be cutting at least $95 per month. And this is part of the additional money families had been receiving during the pandemic. Barbara Morales-Burke with Interfaith Food Shuttle says they've already seen an increase in the need for food. And while they don't know how much more will be needed, they say they are prepared to meet that demand.
We're going to be listening to what we hear from those partner agencies. We're going to listen to them about what kind of change they're seeing in the level of need and what those specific needs are. And then as our resources permit, we'll do our best to fill them. But what we do can only be done with the support of the community.
There are several food assistance options. You can go to the WREL News app and learn how to donate. Nia Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
Now, we should note food benefits for children affected by COVID in North Carolina are not leaving yet. The state's Department of Health and Human Services just got approval to continue its Pandemic Electronic Benefits Program, the PEBT. That program helps eligible kids who can't access meals at school or in childcare because of COVID-related absences or closures. With this extension, PEBT will last until May 11th. That's when the pandemic health emergency ends.
Breaking news. In the past 30 minutes, we've learned a station master has been arrested after two trains crashed head-on in Greece. This is a look at the scene here. Police identified that person only as a 59-year-old man. Two other people are being questioned. Right now, 36 people have died in that crash. More than 85 others were hurt. It happened around midnight. Some of the riders were university students returning home from vacation. Several rail employees are among the dead. Investigators say a passenger train leaving Athens hit an oncoming freight train at high speed. The reason for the crash is not clear yet. And the prime minister of Greece is at the site of the crash right now. New video in the last hour shows him arriving there this morning. He announced 3 days of mourning for the victims and is meeting with first responders. We'll bring you any updates on air and online.
New this morning, UNC police are looking for the person who assaulted and robbed a student inside a dorm room. This happened just after 8 last night in Morrison Residence Hall on campus. Police say a woman entered a student's room, assaulted that person, and threatened them. The woman then went through the student's belongings and took money before leaving. Police did not say if this was a targeted attack. Over in Clayton, several roads are back open this morning after a gas leak. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was there as crews worked to repair the leak on Little Creek Church Road. The gas line was hit by workers earlier in the day. Three nearby roads were shut down for hours, but they are back open.
We'll learn more this morning about offshore wind energy development in the state. State Commerce Secretary Michelle Baker Sanders plans to announce an agreement at 9:30. Sources tell WREL this could include adding wind farms at Southport and on Radio Island near Moorhead City. We're expected to work with Denmark, which has a long history with offshore wind energy, to carry out construction. That'll mean some big development near our coastal ports.
North Carolina is one step closer to making medical marijuana legal. The state Senate just passed a legalization bill with bipartisan support. The measure still needs to pass another vote today before it heads to the House. A similar bill didn't make it past the House last time, but supporters have higher hopes this time. The bill's lead sponsor, a Republican, recently said he believes there is more support this time around. North Carolina is one of a small number of states not yet legalized medical marijuana.
Coming up, a neighborhood mystery is solved. The reason for a traveling herd of cows spotted several times on security cameras and on cell phones in Fayetteville.
And after years of legal battles, the wife of late NBA legend Kobe Bryant has a settlement. What she'll receive after accusing sheriff's deputies of taking graphic photos following Kobe's death.
Ever seen some clouds here and there this morning? We are into a rainy pattern starting tomorrow. It'll be a wet commute on Thursday and Friday, and we could wrap up Friday with some severe storms. I'll show you the timeline coming up.
It is 8:13 right now. There are some clouds over the DBAP, and that's okay. The temperatures are going to be rising here throughout the day. It is the 1st of March. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WMRF Severe Weather Center. Meteorological spring, right?
Starts March 1st. And, you know, a lot of times that's kind of fun. I mean, it is going to feel like spring again for today. Real spring on the calendar, just the calendar. Spring doesn't start until about 3 weeks into the month of March. But here we go with some sunshine in Goldsboro for our first meteorological day of spring, but it's cloudy in Apex, Chapel Hill, and Durham, and we are going to see increasing clouds as we head through the afternoon. We're about to embark on a wet pattern. That starts late tonight into Thursday morning. Tomorrow morning is going to be a wet commute. Then late Thursday, early Friday with another wet morning commute on Friday. And then we'll wrap up Friday evening with a front that comes through. We already have a level 1 and 2 severe weather threat with this big system. There are actually two of them coming our way. This first one bringing a lot of snow to the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes. That's going to swing through with some increasing clouds and a light shower later on tonight and early tomorrow. And then this is the front that's going to bring a lot of severe storms to the deep south and bring us the chance of a few isolated severe storms as well. Here's a look at Futurecast. Futurecast showing a good bit of cloud cover here, but I do feel like we're going to have some breaks in the clouds as we get through the day today. Clouds will likely be thicker later on. And by midnight into 2 a.m., we start to see the rain moving in. It may be heavy at times. There could even be a rumble of thunder early tomorrow morning, but nothing severe on Thursday. At 6 a.m., it's pretty wet, but by the time we get to 9 a.m., it's out of here. So first part of the commute likely to be pretty wet. Second part may be a bit drier. After that, we have a break in the precipitation up until Thursday late afternoon and evening, and then we'll see more rain rolling in. And then, of course, Friday morning looks like it's going to be wet. We'll take it back out again. Here's the front that comes through on Friday. Out ahead of it along the warm front, some showers first thing on Friday morning, and then a little bit of a break as we get closer to lunchtime, and then the front itself comes moving in, and that's going to bring us some rain late afternoon into the evening. That's where we'd have the best chance of seeing some severe storms. After that, we start to dry out, and it looks pretty nice for us over the weekend. Today, the best chance of severe storms runs from Tennessee all the way down to Texas as a level 2, but it jumps to level 4 tomorrow in almost the same spot there. Level 4 is even unusual for parts of the deep south. The tornado threat will be high there for tomorrow. And then for Friday, we're looking at the chance here around the Triangle, a level 1 risk. And in the Sandhills, it's a level 2 risk for severe storms. And that would be Friday evening. How much rain are we talking about? An average of half an inch to an inch. And then, of course, after that, we start to dry out. Saturday and Sunday, temperatures will be cooler, but still above normal. But are you ready for this? We're back to the 30s for Monday morning, Brian.
All right. It is now 8:16, and we're seeing a much better situation in Garner. That earlier crash on 40 westbound right around the Jones Sausage Road interchange has cleared, seeing a little bit of a residual delay there. But now we're looking at a much more typical 8-minute backup on 40 westbound with most of the delays between 42 and the Clayton bypass. Still, though, we're seeing some backups resulting from those earlier delays on 40 westbound on that westbound side of Business 70 coming in from Clayton back toward Garner. Over in Morrisville, watch for a crash in the clearing stages now on 55 at McCrimmon Parkway. Still seeing a little bit of a delay in that area. Up at Falls of Neuse at Wakefield Pines Drive, a minor crash also getting cleared here in the past couple of minutes. Still seeing a little bit of a lingering delay, perhaps, as you head away from Wake Forest back toward Raleigh. And a report of a crash on Vandura Springs Road at Business 70 in Garner, but that also appears to be well in the clearing stages. We'll head over toward Durham, Chapel Hill, and Hillsborough right now. Sensors are indicating that 85 and I-40 are in good shape. Still seeing a little bit of a backup on the northbound side of 885 between Cornwallis Road up to just beyond T.W. Alexander Drive. By the time you get up to Glover Road, Ellis Road, and 147, traffic's flowing freely in both directions.
Thanks, Brian. Two people are in the hospital this morning after a serious crash in Sampson County. This was the scene when the WRL Breaking News Tracker arrived along U.S. 13 at Alex Benton Road last night. Troopers tell us charges are pending.
A strong snowstorm hitting California hard is now deadly. These are live pictures over the town of Truckee, right by the Nevada border. Officials say an 80-year-old woman died after her back porch roof caved in under the weight of heavy snow. Meanwhile, San Bernardino County is under a state of emergency as snow traps people inside. Many people living in those mountain communities have been snowed in for days. The county is looking for state and federal assistance to clear snow from highways and neighborhoods.
In just a few hours, jurors in the Alec Murdaugh trial will arrive at the rural hunting estate where his wife and son were murdered. Today's trip comes a day after the prosecution ended its rebuttal questioning. Once that visit to the estate is over, closing arguments in the case will begin. The jury could begin its deliberations by tomorrow. Murdaugh denies killing his wife and son. He was formerly a powerful attorney in South Carolina, since disbarred.
The wife of late NBA legend Kobe Bryant has ended her years-long legal fight over pictures of her husband's death. Vanessa Bryant will receive nearly $29 million from Los Angeles County. The two sides reached a settlement over graphic photos shared by sheriff's deputies. They showed the scene where Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna died in a helicopter crash more than 3 years ago. Seven others also died in that crash. Vanessa Bryant says she filed a legal action to protect her husband's legacy.
Social workers will soon be helping law enforcement handle mental health crises and those calls in Orange County. The county recently got a $1.2 million grant from the state. It plans to use the money to pay for one social worker position each for the sheriff's office and the Carrboro, Chapel Hill, and Hillsborough police departments. New positions are also coming to the Criminal Justice Resource Department and at Freedom House Recovery Center in Chapel Hill.
State Republican leaders are gathering today to call for a second constitutional convention. Former presidential candidate Rick Santorum will join State House Speaker Tim Moore and other GOP lawmakers for the announcement. A group of House Republicans, including Moore, want a constitutional convention to add congressional term limits to the U.S. Constitution. 34 states would have to vote to make a convention happen.
New this morning, Chicago is preparing to elect a new mayor after voters denied incumbent Lori Lightfoot a second term. Lightfoot conceded overnight, and now Paul Vallis and Brandon Johnson will meet in a runoff to take her place. Vallis is a former head of Chicago Public Schools, and Johnson is a county commissioner. Lightfoot thanked her supporters and spoke directly to young people of color last night.
I told you back then that anything is possible with hard work. And I want you to know that no matter what happens along the way, you should always believe that, because it's true.
Lightfoot is the first African-American woman and first openly gay person to serve as Chicago's mayor. Her loss was unusual, since historically the incumbent wins in that city's mayoral race. The runoff election is April 4th.
Driving through Wake Forest could get a little messy today because of railroad crossing work. CSX plans to make repairs to five crossings across town today. Those are at Brick Street, Elm Street, Holding Avenue, Friendship Chapel Road, and Rogers Road. The work should be done by tomorrow. The crossing at Ligon Mill Road will be closed once the work at Rogers Road is finished. We're getting a sneak peek at Ray Romano's directorial debut and the new Dungeons & Dragons movie. Here's Rick Damigella.
Oh, that's not good.
Actually, yes it is, because Paramount has released a look at some of the creatures featured in Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. From an owlbear to a mimic to a displacer beast and a group of intellect devourers, the movie looks to be filled with enough monsters to fill a manual. The adventure begins March 31st.
He gets on that team, everything changes for him.
You need to turn down the rah-rah.
What? I'm excited.
Ray Romano makes his directorial debut in the family dramedy Somewhere in Queens, about an Italian-American family and a potentially different future for an only child away from the family business. The film arrives in theaters April 21st.
Peter found it, just like he found all of us.
It's like he found me.
Peter Pan?
Were you expecting someone else?
Here's your first look at Peter Pan and Wendy, starring Jude Law as Captain Hook. The movie flies onto Disney Plus April 28th. With Faith and Trust and Pixie Dust in Hollywood, I'm Rick Damigella.
It is a bovine mystery that has been solved now in the James Creek community of Fayetteville. Take a look at this. Neighbors couldn't capture these guys, but they captured them on video. About a dozen cows roaming through the community on home security cameras, cell phone video. They were spotted 2 months ago. They came back again last month. Turns out the cows belong to a farmer who lives just on the back edge of that neighborhood property. And he says, on occasion, sometimes storms knock down parts of his fence and those cows get out. He is able to round them up, though, when he finds them in that neighborhood just by whistling.
Aw, they're like a bunch of dogs.
Here, cow. Here, cow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that... I guess.
Listen, they want to get out. They want to roam. I mean, they probably have a good amount of space to roam, but, yeah. You know, why not?
It's fresh grass, new territory,
exactly.
Whatever. Then they got to move back in. Yes. Where they came from. That's what happens. All right.
Nice.
8:23, the time right now. State Auditor Beth Wood is speaking out as a WRL investigation reveals more about the fallout from her hit-and-run crash after a Christmas party. Hear the statement she issued overnight. That's just ahead.
Also ahead, newly unsealed search warrants are showing us what investigators found in a home linked to the man accused of killing four University of Idaho students.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Time now is 8:26 on your Wednesday morning. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top stories. We're going to begin with weather, starting off a little cloudy, but temperatures are going to warm up nicely today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here with a look over Apex. Elizabeth.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of gray skies around the Triangle area right now, but no rain, and the rain's not likely to arrive until early tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning is going to be a wet morning commute for us, but it'll stay dry during the day today. It's been a little cooler this morning than yesterday. 46 in Lewisburg still, 49 in Tarboro, 46 South Hill and 53 in Fayetteville. So walking the dog this morning, you might be more comfortable in a jacket. We'll still warm up into the mid-70s for this afternoon. If you're walking the dog this evening, we're back into the upper 60s, but again, dry through the evening. Brian?
Here at 8:27, some good news in Garner. We're back to sort of a normal morning slowdown on 40 westbound right around the Clayton Bypass. Just a six-minute delay showing up there. That earlier crash around Jones Sausage Road that created such big delays now has cleared. Also, some good news in Morrisville. It looks like that crash on 55 at McCrimmon and Parkway has cleared and traffic's flowing freely. In Durham, just a little bit of a lingering delay on the northbound side of 885 around Cornwallis Road, but overall our major routes in Durham are looking fine. Look out as they clear a crash from North Raleigh at Falls of Neuse Road at Wakefield Pines Drive.
All right, thank you, Brian. Breaking overnight, a woman is dead and a man is in the hospital after a shooting at a hotel in Durham. It happened just before 11 o'clock at the Extended Stay America on NC-55. Police have been there for more than 9 hours. The man who was shot is expected to survive. Police have not named a suspect or a motive. And big cuts to SNAP benefits start today for hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians. That's because the extra benefits put in place during the COVID-19 pandemic are officially expiring. Eligible families will be getting, on average, about $90 less each month. Next on Fox 50, we'll have more local news and weather. Stay with us.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Now on Fox 50, we're tracking breaking news here at home and overseas. From a deadly shooting at a hotel in Durham to an arrest just confirmed in the last hour after a head-on train crash in Greece, where you are looking live.
We have a mix of sun and clouds out this morning, and temperatures are running a little cooler than yesterday in the 40s and 50s. We're still on track for a much warmer than normal afternoon, and I'll show you when more rain arrives here.
State Auditor Beth Wood responds after WRL uncovers more about her hit-and-run crash after a Christmas party. Some of the topics we'll be covering for you, 8:30 on your Wednesday morning. Certainly glad you're joining us right now. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting out a little cloudy, but we were watching the Dix Park cam because there was a little one-year-old girl taking a photo shoot with a one-year-old balloon. She was so cute. Parents there taking a little photo shoot. So not a bad day to do it.
No.
Temperatures feel good, a little cloudy, but We'll take it. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner here to show us how warm we're going to get today.
We had lots of sunshine yesterday and hit 79. And we're going to see a mix of sun and clouds. This is a live look at Fayetteville right now. And you can see just some filtered sunshine. 51 is our temperature around the Triangle area right now. In Fayetteville, it is 53, 54 in Clinton, and in the mid-40s still in Roxboro and South Hill. Temperatures this morning running anywhere from 10 to about 15 degrees cooler than yesterday. So a jacket might feel nice. Yesterday, we were so warm, we didn't even hardly need a jacket. But temperatures will warm a little more slowly today with some clouds on and off. We'll be in the mid to upper 60s at lunchtime and then in the mid 70s this afternoon, just a few degrees cooler than yesterday. We will see increasing clouds as we're about to change our weather pattern. So for tonight, we have a good chance for rain. It's likely to be a very wet start to Thursday morning and then a bit of a break. And we see more rain Thursday night into early Friday. And then Friday night, we have a chance of some scattered storms that could produce some severe weather with a cold front coming through. The Storm Prediction Center has put the Triangle area in a level one risk and our Sand Hills County is in a level two risk. So we could see some damaging wind that would be during Friday evening. But we're going to walk through the timeline for that coming up.
We're following some breaking news here in the WREL Live Center. Families whose children and loved ones depend on insulin, a huge financial break this morning. Drug maker Eli Lilly announcing it will cap the out-of-pocket costs for insulin at $35 a month. This change takes effect immediately. This is a 70% reduction, and this is actually in line with a provision in the Inflation Reduction Act. This is a huge break again for families needing insulin. Back in 2018, the average cost for a vial of insulin was almost $100. Of course, this move could prompt other insulin drug makers to do the same.
Thanks, Ken. Breaking news this morning. Investigators are still at the scene of a deadly shooting at a Durham motel more than 9 hours later. It's at the Extended Stay America on NC-55 in Durham. And WRL's Michael Grace shares with us what he's learned after spending all night there.
Yeah, well, so far we know that the shooting happened at 11 last night. Police say when they arrived, they found a woman who was shot. She was taken to the hospital where she later died. A man also shot. He has non-life-threatening injuries, and this is a massive crime scene. I want to get you to this video from the WRAL breaking news tracker of that scene. This is around 1:30 in the morning. You can see nearly the entire parking lot here at the Extended Stay has been blocked off. In fact, it was very difficult to even get a glimpse of this investigation, actually to walk off the property of the hotel just to get a few shots of those evidence markers you see in the parking lot right there. This is now the second deadly shooting here in Durham in a week's time. Right now, I'm still working with investigators to learn if they have a lead on a potential shooter at this time. In Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
Local food pantries are preparing for a surge in demand. That's because a benefit that's helped hundreds of thousands of people in North Carolina feed their families ends today. WRL's Naya Harden is at the Interfaith Food Shuttle in Raleigh with how you can help.
Organizations just like this one starting today are expecting to see more people. And this is all as families enrolled in the federal supplemental nutrition assistance program will lose at least $95 per month. This is part of the additional money families received during the pandemic. Barbara Morales-Burke with Interfaith Food Shuttle says they've already seen an increase in the need for food. And while they don't know how much more will be needed, she says they are ready to meet the demand.
We're going to be listening to what we hear from those partner agencies. We're going to listen to them about what kind of change they're seeing in the level of need and what those specific needs are. And then as our resources permit, we'll do our best to fill them. But what we do can only be done with the support of the community.
And there are several food assistance programs that are available, those options on our website, WRAL.com, as well as the news app, and you can learn how to donate. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And breaking news, in just the past 45 minutes, we've learned a station master has been arrested after two trains crashed head-on in Greece. We have live pictures of that site right now where police are, and they identified the station master only as a 59-year-old man. Two other people are being questioned as well. Right now, those rescue crews are working to find any survivors in that wreckage. 36 people are confirmed dead out of that crash. More than 85 others are hurt. It happened around midnight. Some of the riders were university students returning home from vacation. Several rail employees are among the dead. Investigators say a passenger train leaving Athens hit an oncoming freight train at high speed. The reason for the crash is not clear yet.
New this morning, UNC police are looking for the person that assaulted and robbed a student inside a dorm room. It happened just after 8 o'clock last night in Morrison Residence Hall on campus. Police say a woman entered a student's room, assaulted and threatened them. The woman then went through the student's belongings and took money before leaving. Police did not say if this was a targeted attack.
New abortion restrictions are taking a step forward in North Carolina. A Republican-backed bill to reduce the number of weeks the procedure is legal could be introduced as soon as next week. State House Speaker Tim Moore says there is enough support to make abortions illegal after as little as 6 weeks. Right now, they're banned in our state after 20 weeks, unless it's needed to save a mother's life. The new measure has abortion rights advocates concerned.
I'm incredibly disheartened to hear that the Republicans are yet again attempting to control the healthcare decisions of the people that elected them to represent us instead of focusing on the real issues that impact the everyday lived experiences of North Carolinians.
The bill will need Democratic support to pass. The GOP is one seat short of a majority big enough to override vetoes by Democratic Governor Roy Cooper.
It'll be a busy 2 days for the people in charge of North Carolina's public schools. The State Board of Education is meeting at 10 o'clock this morning. Members cover a variety of topics, including progress on a new teacher licensure program. They'll also discuss education bills making their way through the General Assembly. That includes a measure to require computer science classes for all high schoolers.
New developments now in this hit-and-run crash involving North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. WRL has learned Wood paid $7,700 to cover the repairs and towing costs after she crashed a state car in December. She faces hit-and-run charges. Overnight, Beth Wood released a statement that reads, quote, "If I could go back and change my decision that night, it would be different. But all I can do moving forward is take responsibility for the accident and fix what was broken. The accident does not define me, nor does it take away from the phenomenal work we've done in my administration."
A man facing charges after a 6-year-old brought a gun to school in Rocky Mount will be in court this morning. 58-year-old Marvin Davis is charged with failing to store the gun properly. Prosecutors say a 6-year-old who lives in the same home as Davis had an unloaded 9mm handgun in his backpack at Fairview Elementary School last month. Police say no threats were made and the child never handled the gun in class.
Starting today, you'll be able to drink alcohol on the streets of Garner. A new downtown social district begins today. It'll be open from noon until 10 p.m. each night, except Sundays. It closes at 5. There will be signs showing you the entrance and exits to the social district. Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville already have social districts just like this.
Coming up, Wake County School says it has a plan to improve safety inside the classroom, but it's not sharing most of what's inside. Just ahead, the one idea school leaders say is off the table.
Plus, what investigators say they found while searching a home linked to the man accused of killing 4 University of Idaho students.
And we're tracking a warm Wednesday as you look live at Goldsboro, when we could see some rain creep in this week in your 7-day forecast. That's next. Good morning to you, Fayetteville. A nice sunny look there right now. You're watching WRL News. Time now is 8:43. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking some different weather at RDU. It's a little cloudy there right now.
We're looking at cloud cover across parts of the viewing area as our next system approaches. It's going to bring us some rain by tomorrow morning, but today should stay dry, even though it looks gray. I picked RDU here because you've got so much sky to look at, and you can see it's pretty gray out there. So our temperatures initially are going to be a little slow to warm up, but we should see a few breaks in the clouds on and off today. We'll climb up in the afternoon into the mid-70s. At lunchtime, temperatures should be mid to upper 60s. It's still cool this morning heading out the door. We still have 40s in Roxborough and South Hill. Elsewhere, we're looking at mainly at low to mid 50s. So that's a cooler start than we saw yesterday morning. But this afternoon, it should be nice and mild. Mid 70s in the Triangle, 78 Rocky Mount, 70 up in Roxborough, 78 in Southern Pines, and some low 80s down around Fayetteville and into Sampson County. So we've had such a warm winter so far. We ended up with the warmest February on record, the warmest winter on record too. So what should it look like this time of year? Our normal low is 37. So even though though it's cooler than it was yesterday, you know, our temperatures have been in the upper 40s, low 50s, well above normal. Same thing for the afternoon, high 59, and we'll be back in the mid 70s this afternoon. By the end of the month, we typically see some warming. Our normal low is mid 40s and our normal high is 68. And of course, for much of the last couple of months, we've been way above that. About 4 inches of rain is what we normally see. In terms of our pollen count, it usually doesn't start to climb until later in the season, but our tree pollen count is high again today. Pine pollen started to break out across the area, so you may be seeing that now. If not, it's probably coming shortly. Elm, cedar, oak, and birch trees also are emitting a lot of allergens right now as well. Pine pollen typically lasts around 3 weeks. This season, it may be much longer. Our tree pollen usually declines mid to late April on average, and then after that, grass and weed pollens increase in May. But look what happened back in 2017 when we had a big warm-up in February. Our pollen count jumped up, but then it went up and down through the month of March and then peaked in April when it normally does. That means it was a very long pollen season, but it wasn't high the whole time. We could easily see that as we're looking at some much colder temperatures for the middle of March. We also have some relief on the way coming for tomorrow and Friday as we have some rain in the forecast. Tomorrow morning for the morning commute, it's going to be wet. We'll see a break midday and then more rain develops during the evening commute, and that'll last into Friday morning. Friday evening, we'll likely see a strong line of thunderstorms. We already have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms on Friday evening. After that, we're drier and a bit cooler over the weekend, but still above normal Saturday and Sunday.
All right, thank you, Elizabeth. Breaking overnight, at least 3 police officers are in the hospital in Kansas City after a shooting. We've learned after 2 o'clock this morning they'd been executing a search warrant at the time. Investigators say the officers tried knocking on the door of the home around 10 o'clock last night and shots were fired towards them. The officers then returned fire. Police say the 3 officers are expected to survive. It's not clear if anyone inside the home was hurt.
Newly unsealed search warrants show us what investigators found while searching a home linked to the man accused of killing 4 University of Idaho students. Documents show authorities seized items including medical gloves, a flashlight, and sneakers inside the home of Brian Koberger's parents in Pennsylvania. That's where Koberger was arrested for the killings last year. Investigators also took a DNA swab. Another round of warrants is expected to be released today, and Koberger has not yet entered a plea in those murders.
The director of the FBI is supporting new evidence suggesting the COVID-19 pandemic was likely the result of a lab leak in China. Christopher Wray spoke on Fox News last night.
I should add that that our work related to this continues. I will just make the observation that the Chinese government seems to me has been doing its best to try to thwart and obfuscate the work here, the work that we're doing, the work that our U.S. government and close foreign partners are doing.
The FBI said last year it thought the virus likely came from a lab. The Department of Energy report earlier this week agreed, but with, quote, low confidence. Several other government agencies, meanwhile, believe COVID came from natural transmission. Wake County is making it clear metal detectors are not part of a district-wide plan to make schools safer. District leaders are facing mounting pressure from parents to address safety. There have been 5 guns found at 5 schools in the last 4 months. That's on top of a growing number of social media threats and school lockdowns. The school system has identified 5 recommendations for physical security upgrades at schools, but they're keeping those under wraps for now.
I can't really tell you what's in the assessment, but I'm going to tell you what's not in the assessment. Metal detectors and/or weapon detection systems are not in the assessment.
Security experts have told WREL metal detectors can catch some weapons, but they're very expensive and unlikely to stop a school shooting. Later this year, Wake County will install new check-in systems at all schools that screen visitors more carefully.
Well, there's a lot of family-friendly fun happening in the Triangle this weekend, from an outdoor Disney movie to a visit to the ballpark. WRL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan is here now with us this morning. Kathy, first, let's start with the First Friday in downtown Raleigh.
I love First Friday. Okay, First Friday is always a great opportunity to go out with your family. And in Moore Square, there's going to be a free screening of the movie The Princess Bride. It's a classic. It'll start around 6:30. There's also going to be food trucks and vendors. Now, if it rains, they do reschedule it. So note that they will have a rain date later.
OK, keep it in mind. All right, that's not the only movie screening this weekend. What about in Durham on Saturday?
Okay, Carolina Theater of Durham, they're hosting the Disney Quest film series. It shows classic films each month. Now, on Saturday morning, you can catch Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Its tickets are $8. Was that one of your Disney favorites? There's so many. There's so many great ones.
I mean, of course, that's a classic. It is on
the witch
list.
Scared me. When I was a kid, that witch scared me. Man, I'm still scared of that witch.
A little unsettling, no doubt. You know, it's not scary, though. Baseball, springtime. I mean, it feels like spring out here, right? So this weekend, let's talk some baseball.
A chance to see Woolly Bull. The Durham Bulls are hosting their spring fan fest from 5 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. So you can play catch on the field. Children ages 12 and younger can even do batting practice. Admission is free, but you do need to reserve your ticket in advance. You can do that online.
All right. All sounds like great fun. You can learn more about these and other events for you and your kids by clicking on the Go Ask Mom tab on our website, WRL.com. Kathy, thanks.
March Madness is almost here. The ACC Women's College Basketball Tournament gets started this afternoon in Greensboro. Our teams from here in the Triangle will start playing tomorrow. NC State will play Syracuse at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. UNC will play at 6 p.m. against the winner of today's game between Clemson and Pitt. Duke will play its first game on Friday night at 6 o'clock against the winner of that game. And some Wake County students will take to the stage tonight to showcase their talent. The annual Pieces of Gold Showcase will happen at the Duke Energy Center for Performing Arts. The event features about 1,000 Wake County students. The show starts at 7. WRL's Brian Schrader will be emceeing the event. This is an annual fundraiser for the Wake Education Foundation.
We've been hearing about this from Elizabeth Gardner. We're just trying to hold it off a little longer, but pollen season has arrived earlier this year, and experts at NC State say we're 3 weeks ahead of schedule for the pine pollen that you always see coating your cars and other surfaces around the Triangle. This means we're in for a longer season of suffering when it comes to allergies as well. And they have a heads up for you if you think an early start means an early finish for pollen season.
But unfortunately, that's just not the case. It just means we're going to have a longer growing season, giving our trees just more time to emit pollen and unfortunately make those allergies that much worse.
Fantastic. Studies show trees will be likely putting out more than 200% more pollen in the coming years.
Can't wait. Amazing. All right. Our teacher of the week is not a classroom teacher, but she does important work for students at a Wilson County high school. WRL's Brian Schrader introduces us to a staffer who made a big difference in at least one student's life.
When students get in trouble at Bedingfield High School in Wilson, there's a good chance they'll see Letitia Baines. She's the in-school suspension coordinator.
Depending on what they got sent out of class for, we always talk about it, whatever it is.
Baines keeps up with students and helps them get refocused on school.
I just let them know, you know, this is not where you want to be every day, all the time. So now you know what you have to do. So now it's your responsibility to not come back in here.
Last year, Baines saw that a student's glasses were being held together by tape. So she went to Walmart that night where an employee donated new frames for that student.
He just gave me a hug. I said, it's all right. It's all good. They said, I can't believe it.
While Baines is not a classroom teacher, she is serving her students with pride.
I help, or at least try to help as many children as I can.
Letitia Baines is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
And Baines is working to become a guidance counselor. You can nominate a teacher from your school by searching Teacher of the Week on WREL.com. I can think of at least two or three teachers in my life that have made such a difference, and I remember them to this day.
Were they in-school suspension counselors?
No.
I might have had a little bit of closer contact with those folks. But, yeah, you always remember the ones who have a meaningful part of your life. They're not your parents, but they have that influence on you from an adult perspective that you can take a long way with you.
They absolutely shape you.
Before we go to break, here are the winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic still ahead your way. That's next.